Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
I really did not like Super Bowl 52. I did not like Super Bowl 52.
No, he did not. He's wearing his shirt right now.
It's ironic that we're recording this today. Because when I was getting dressed this morning, I did not have any in-person client meetings, so I am in jeans and a New England Patriots polo shirt. But I did not like Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, who won the Super Bowl, Ryan?
Not the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Podcast is not about the football game, but we are going to talk about what we learned during Super Bowl 52. And I don't mean during the game. What we learned in terms of being involved for 2 years in the preparedness efforts around Super Bowl 52, and what we know, I think we all took away from that experience that would be valuable to you as you think about planning major events.
Yep, and what some of our peers learned as well. So all of us collectively together.
We'll start off with the fact that you can't argue, which is that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, Brian.
No, so Super Bowl 52. Let me paint the picture for you if you're not familiar with the Twin Cities, but Super Bowl 52 was held at U.S. Bank Stadium, which is the home of the Minnesota Vikings. Unlike a lot of NFL stadiums, U.S. Bank Stadium is built right in the central business district of Minneapolis. It is literally a few blocks from about 15 Fortune 500 headquarters.
Right. It was built on the same footprint as the Metrodome.
So right downtown, you have some really big Fortune 500 firms like U.S. Bank. General Mills has a large facility there. Ameriprise Financial, Target, Wells Fargo, Valspar, and the list just goes on.
On and on.
Yep, on and on from there. So it's not like the last Super Bowl down in, I think the last one was in Houston, or Dallas, where the stadium is out, you know, in the middle of a huge parking lot, off the side of the highway with nothing around it. This is right smack in the middle of the city. So it posed a very different risk situation for companies because everything was right there. The game itself, of course, was at the stadium. The stadium doesn't have parking, so it has a very limited amount of parking. So there's really no standoff distance. So you had to block to kind of illustrate this, you had to block city streets for quite some distance around in order to get the kind of security perimeter to protect from blast and do adequate security screening and that kind of thing.
Right. In addition to that, there was events held at the Minneapolis Convention Center, which is also right downtown on the other side of downtown. So more streets had to be locked up for that.
So that was the NFL or Super Bowl experience. Mm-hmm. They had the entire convention center for this. They did the between that and the Hilton, which was the NFL hotel, which is also right downtown. They did most of the major events around the Super Bowl. All the different awards ceremonies and dinners and stuff were held between the convention center and that hotel. And then down Nicollet Mall, which is kind of the central pedestrian thoroughfare. You can't drive on Nicollet Mall. It's literally an outdoor mall in the sense that we think about outdoor malls.
Right.
That was NFL Live, ran for about 8 blocks, had a stage. Mind you, all this was occurring in what turned out to be a minus 10 average week, which is pretty normal.
Yep.
But all of that was going on in the downtown area. And actually, Nicollet Mall was the NFL Live experience was one of the bigger areas of concern for companies because their headquarters are on Nicollet Mall. U.S. Bank, Target, Xcel Energy are all along Nicollet Mall. I might be missing one or two, but they all face Nicollet Mall with their principal headquarters locations.
Yeah. So that as a whole, if you just location alone, really created a lot of challenges for us in planning for these events and protecting these companies' assets and keeping their employees in mind, parking in mind.
And then to make things even more complicated, the teams and the media center were at the Mall of America, which is in Bloomington, Minnesota, which is not downtown Minneapolis. No. It was 15 miles to the south. Each team had an entire hotel. Then the media center was in a space that was kind of between the two hotels. Hotels are on either side of the mall, north and south side. The media center was kind of arranged around the fourth floor of the mall. To give you perspective, there's 8,000 media that have credentials to come to the Super Bowl or the events around the Super Bowl. And so it's just a really massive experience for them to manage. But that meant that the mall and everything going on there was subject to heightened scrutiny and protests and all the kind of things mm-hmm. that went on.
The airport is also, you know, maybe, what do you say, 5 minutes from the Mall of America?
Yeah, I mean, it's right on top of it.
Downtown Minneapolis is maybe 10 minutes from the international airport. So just in the city, very, very large event, obviously. And but I think compounded by the fact that it's in such a populated area to begin with.
Right. So without all that as background, our involvement started 2 years ago when things started, when companies started finally starting to ask, gosh, what should we do about the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
We've known for a year it's coming. Now it's starting to, we're starting to hear things. What do we do?
Or what do we need to be doing? Is there something that we should be doing that we're not already doing?
So we had a lot of, I think we've talked before about major event preparation. Mm-hmm. We did all of those things. I mean, we helped companies prepare some basic planning. We talked about options like remote work and how do you create standoff barrier? How do you create, what are the different tiers you might go through if risks escalate during the course of, you know, Super Bowl week or the game itself? All I thought were, all were pretty basic. All are things we've talked about on previous podcast episodes.
Yeah. So let's talk about what went really well.
Communication amongst the private sector companies was great. We had a, we created, along with the interests of about 30 companies that were downtown, big companies, we created a mailing list that was kind of for rapid response. We had some meetings where we got together and talked through, you know, what's everybody thinking? What are you doing about this? What are you doing about this? What turned out to be interesting that we didn't expect through that is we brought in the host committee. We brought in Minneapolis Public Works. We brought in the Minneapolis Police. And it turned out that none of these groups were talking to each other in terms of communication to the big companies, the big employers of what was going on. And it was pretty frustrating for the companies because they weren't getting information.
Yeah.
This kind of venue coalition that we pulled together really helped us move through that and get information figured out. And they felt, I think everybody walked away knowing more through the course of these conversations.
Yeah. And there was information out there, but you really had to go and search for it. The host committee had a website that very little information was on because it took them quite a while to finalize
right.
all of their plans.
Yeah, the traffic plan in particular was just really difficult
and
to
manage.
And
it caused a lot of angst, I think, amongst the businesses. So
it did.
I think even just having the host committee there to say, hey, here's when we will have the information out there.
I think that calmed a lot of folks down.
I think so.
I mean, one of the big challenges, and I think this was there's a lot of conversation about this, but if you've been in downtown Minneapolis and you've ever driven in downtown Minneapolis, there's just not a lot of parking.
No.
And the city is actually trying to go to even having less parking than what's there today. And you're having parking ramps or what you would call a parking garage, we call a ramp here.
Yep.
Parking ramps are getting eliminated in favor of building new buildings and that kind of thing.
I think their goal is to make it as miserable to drive downtown as possible. we spend a fair amount of time downtown with different clients and things like that. And it's so miserable driving down there and parking down
there these days. Parking is such a challenge that was a big topic of conversation is, are you going to be taking parking? And the host committee kind of dithered for a while and then finally came back and said, well, yes, we are actually. So you need to talk to your particular ramp to find out what's going on. And we had people that didn't do that. And then, you know, the Tuesday or Wednesday before the game showed up to park in a ramp, which they had a contract with, and found out that the contract wasn't valid during the remainder of Super Bowl week. So there are a lot of those little things that just cause a lot of angst and stress that, you know, in good information sharing up front helps alleviate that.
Right. So we did notice that in some cases when it wasn't shared mm-hmm. or it wasn't heard, there was some issues, but that information sharing was incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we know goes well in all of these instances, and we've learned this in other cases too, is really understanding and knowing what top risks are, right? So what is going on? What is happening between parking, protest activity, the discussion about alcohol on Nicollet Mall, mm-hmm. all of those things, and knowing what that risk is and what that means to your organization. Mm-hmm. I think that was really helpful to talk through that with the different companies. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most valuable things that they did, and I know this is one of the first times this happened at scale like this, but about a week, well, actually during the playoff games that happened here when the Vikings were still in the mix, the Minneapolis Downtown Improvement District, which was really representing private sector interests in the interagency communication chain, started a chat room, a live chat room, using the DHS HISN, Homeland Security Information Network, capability. And we tested it during the playoffs so we could all get used to it. And then we used it through the entire week of the Super Bowl. And it was great from the standpoint that it gave us a real-time chat room and visual display of things that were going on. And companies could go in and ask questions about what's going on with this and what's going on with this, or what have you heard? Or they can report, hey, we just had XYZ suspicious behavior. We reported it to 911. Now we're bringing it here. And that let everybody kind of talk through what was going on. It became particularly important in the lead up to the game itself, because as was expected, we had protesters. There were a number of protest things that were going on. There was some protest march, which the police were helping. They, you know, were allowed to do a little traffic blocking and kind of do their thing. And the police generally just kind of cooperated and helped them accomplish their goals because they weren't really disrupting anything to some extent, to a certain extent. But we also had protesters that blocked the trains, the light rail trains, by chaining themselves together. They had a plan for this. The police very quickly rerouted the trains, put people on buses, got them to the game, all the things that they needed to do. And then they moved in and arrested all the protesters with the fire department cutting the chains and doing all that. There was great communication, I think, in the chat while this was going on. So everybody knew exactly, here's what's happening and here's how we're managing this disruption. And the police are dealing with the protest situation, and we'll explain that as it happens, not to give away, you know, kind of tactical information. So I thought that they were really good, did a really good job of kind of working through that and communicating what was going on throughout the course of the game and in the week itself.
Yeah. And the ability to get on that chat long before and sort of understand how that's going to work, I think, was really helpful to most of us that were managing through those situations.
Mm-hmm. By any means, I think the if I was to summarize the information sharing around the event, is that the lead up to the Super Bowl, I don't know if the companies hadn't gotten together and kind of pushed the issue, if they ever would have gotten answers to help them in the time frame they needed to make plans. And I think it was good that they kind of got together as a group on their own with us, and we kind of pushed that issue with the city and with the host committee. I think that was really good in order to gain info. I think what the city did through the Downtown Improvement District in terms of communicating information during the game and the week of the Super Bowl was brilliant. I'd like to see more of that from a public-private sector communication aspect in the future. It was really similar to what FEMA did through the Office of the Private Sector and the NIC, the National Infrastructure Coordinating Center at DHS, with the major hurricane season, the California wildfires. Really good real-time collaboration using a virtual collaboration platform.
Yeah. We know from previous incidents that that public-private partnership is ultimately the really, really important for managing all of these situations. So it's not just law enforcement doing it. It's not just the companies in the area doing it. They're working together.
So to summarize, I think that, you know, Super Bowl 52 turned out to be a pretty good event. We say that, I think, mostly because nothing happened. I felt pretty good about the plans that folks put into place. I know our individual partners, companies that we worked with and companies that shared their experiences with us, I thought prepared well and helped other organizations as needed. We did have plans to get together if something occurred to kind of coordinate across organizations and provide mutual aid where necessary. But I really think that the real-time collaboration and the information sharing up front is what made this event successful for folks. Good luck in your next major event.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.